Good morning and welcome to Citizens Information Systems Advisory Committee teleconference. This meeting is publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register and will convene at 10 a.m. Please do not place this call on hold. Press star 6 to mute your line and pound 6 to unmute your line. Citizens Board and Committee meetings are recorded with transcribed minutes available on our website. Thank you. Chairman Holton, would you like me to proceed with roll call?
Yes, please.
Chairman Holton?
Here.
Senator McKay?
Here.
Governor Wharton?
Here.
Mr. Foley? John Vaughn? Chairman, we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you, Wendy. And that being said, I'll call the meeting to order. Welcome, everyone, to the June 5th, 2018 ISAC Teleconference Committee meeting. First order of business is approval of the prior minutes. Are there any corrections? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I would move approval.
Okay, John, a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second this, Freddie.
Thank you, Freddie. There's been a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Governor Holton, excuse me. This is Kelly.
Yes.
The committee members have to approve and second.
Well, I think they just
so
did.
John Wharton or John Vaughn to second. Or McKay.
Okay.
This is John McKay. I'll second.
Okay, so we have an appropriate motion and a second. Okay, any discussion? Is there any objections to the motion? Okay, show the minutes approved then. My apologies, I have a little static there. I thought we had the two committee members make the motions. In any event, the chair now recognizes Kelly to provide the systems and operations update.
Okay, good morning, Kelly Booten for the record. Today I have a few updates to report, a customer portal update, an IT audit update, and an introduction to the action and consent items. In March, the new My Policy customer portal was implemented, replacing the former Manage My Policy, providing enhanced claim information. As of May 31st, there were 25,208 registered policyholders. We have a marketing campaign underway to promote the My Policy portal and drive up adoption. That project is also reported through the Consumer Services Committee. So this will be the last report I do at this committee. Version 2 of that functionality is being released on June 20th with first notice of loss capability for policyholders to submit their own claims, and then additional capability will be added over time. As far as audit findings, we have two open audit item findings that we are working. Remediation work within the internal network identified as a result of the independent network assessment continues to progress as planned, is on schedule for completion in phases by the end of this year. In addition, the process and control improvements that are related to the third-party access audit have initiated and are also on schedule for completion by the target completion date. Today we have two action items and one consent item that Aditya will cover. All are budgeted items and with no additional new spend requested. I apologize for the last-minute change. Received an updated system administrator services. We had to change that from a consent item to an action item after further review by Regal because it was procured as a sole source. So we are going to add a step between now and the board meeting to tidy up the sole source solicitation for that and then bring it forward to the board meeting. And this action item will be contingent upon that happening. And Aditya will read all of that in his update. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Kelly. Any questions for Kelly? Next, the chair recognizes Sarah Harrell to provide a CenterPoint update.
Good morning, Governors. For the record, Sarah Harrell, Director of Enterprise Programs. The materials for the CenterPoint update are behind tab 3 in your booklets. Slide 2 is the now very familiar overall timeline for all phases. Phases 2 and 4, the advanced procurement and HCM phases have officially concluded since our last meeting. We have had one minor timeline revision. Phase 5, which was advanced HCM, has been broken into two phases. looking to a product switch for our learning management tool. Oracle Learn will now be our learning management tool in lieu of Taleo Learn. And by splitting the phase into two phases, we didn't hinder the deployment of the HCM functionality. We just had a slight delay for product provisioning, et cetera, and we'll deploy the Oracle Learn in a separate phase, 5A, as we're calling it. Slide 3 provides you a little more detail on the drivers, the costs, and the impacts of the product switch and the timeline revision. If you'll notice in the revised timeline, it unbundles, as I said, the learning management component into a separate phase so that we can deploy the HCM functionality as planned and deliver the learning management piece later, a little later, about a month later. The primary drivers for the switch up to Oracle Learn is that Oracle Learn is Oracle's now preferred learning management tool versus Taleo Learn, which was their previous tool. The secondary driver was a co-licensing offer that Oracle provided, which is no additional product or licensing cost if you make the switch now. It also precluded us potentially doing some type of conversion in the future if we decided to switch to the product at that time. There are some minimal implementation costs from our implementation partner, but we found those to be very, very reasonable at about $30,000. And that was the piece that fueled the decision to make the product switch. And with the four program sponsors approval, we made the business decision to make the switch and split it into two phases. Slides 4 and 5 are the milestone status for the remaining three phases that are all currently active. That's phase 3, which is the planning and budget cloud service, and then phase 5 and 5A, as I just discussed. There's no remarkable issues with either of those, any of those three phases. They're on track for delivery as planned, and at long last, the program end is in sight. And I can tell you this collective sigh coming. Slide 6 is, again, the very familiar approved action item for the spend of this program with a 10-year contract. And then slide 7 is the projected spend for the 3-year implementation period. Again, as we've discussed in previous meetings, this is a fixed-price contract, so software licenses, subscription services, implementation services are on a fixed schedule, and they're proceeding as planned. That spend is updated in teal on the chart on slide 7. The only real variable are our two contingency fund buckets. We have $2.1 million allocated for contingency spend, and to date we've spent about $1.18 million, 58%, well within the limits of our spend. We have about $877,000 left. In contingency fund. There is an action item today that Aditya Gavala will be presenting for Oracle Managed Services that will consume additional $182,000 of these contingency funds. Slide 8 is, the projected for the remainder of the contract after implementation, the final 7 years, again, fixed price payment of fees. That concludes my update. I'd be happy to take any questions.
Any questions for Sarah? Okay, so Sarah, thank you so much for that update. The chair now recognizes Robert Sellers to provide a disaster recovery and business continuity updates.
Good morning, Governors. Robert Sellers. The disaster recovery strategy implementation program is currently on budget and still delivering with a high quality on the deliverables. As Sarah indicated, I'd like to echo her. Long last, the end of this project is in sight. Unfortunately, we have had one shift on page 3 of the actual move dates. We were targeting the middle of June, and we have revised those dates due to some deliveries of some network services from our State of Florida Network Services Program. They were delivered to the wrong suite. They've corrected that activity, and we have rescheduled the move to the middle of July at this point. We anticipate that time frame holding. It will take us approximately 72 hours to move the center. The existing center is still operational and running and will be up until the day of the move. So we will remain in protected state there. And after the move on the 13th, we anticipate that we will have full validation of the center through appropriate testing of different DR activities so that by 7:30 we declare that center fully operational and tested. On day of move, we expect those systems to be available and operational, but we will be running full exercise at the end of the month. That concludes the status of the disaster recovery program. Karen Whitlinger from the Office of Internal Audit here at Citizens has been doing an advisory service for us on this particular project. She has submitted a report that will be forthcoming at the upcoming audit committee, but there were no significant issues in that at this time. Are there any questions with respect to the Disaster Recovery Center movement? Okay, hearing none, the Business Continuity Management, Workspace, and Resource Strategy activity. Governors, I've included several slides here of information that you've seen prior. We did get the recommendation from the ISAC to the Board of Governors on March 27th. The recommendation to approve a contract with Agility for these services. The approval was given at the April board meeting, and we have recently concluded in May the contract with Agility. Further due diligence was done with the vendor and with other outside resources, and we felt comfortable in proceeding with the contract. Project managers were assigned from both organizations, and we have had a kickoff meeting at this time with our project managers and other associated staff and individuals. The completion timeline on this, which is to have both the brick and mortar component of this, meaning that we can move into buildings here in Jacksonville, alternative buildings, or to have our mobile space in position to be delivered at locations around Florida, is scheduled to be August 15th of this year. On page four, again, just a quick overview of the process having to do with the use of this technology from declaration all the way through the recovery and post-recovery activities, just a very high-level timeline type of activities. And then on page five, we do have the specific capabilities that have been contracted for through this program. And with that, that concludes my remarks on this program. If anyone has any questions, be happy to take them for us.
Thank you, Robert. Any questions for Robert? Okay, again, thanks for that update. Next, the chair will recognize Adita Cavalla to introduce the CenterPoint Managed Cloud Support Services and the ACS Action Item.
Hello, good morning, everybody. My name is Aditya Gawala. I'm the VP of IT Services and Delivery for the record. The action item for CenterPoint is in tab 5. As Tara mentioned, the CenterPoint project is expected to complete in August 2018. We have come to realize that the maintenance of the system for the already implemented modules is more involved than anticipated. Citizens' current production support team is consumed by the demands of ongoing implementation, post-production support, and keeping up with the mandatory product upgrades from the vendor. Citizens believe it is prudent to outsource a portion of these services. Managed cloud support services provided by Oracle ACS includes product support, product upgrade advisory, assistance, and other maintenance support services that might be needed. The action item requests Citizens Board of Governors approval to authorize staff to enter into a contract with DLT Solutions LLC to procure Oracle ACS managed cloud support services for an initial 6-month contract period beginning July 1st, 2018. The estimated spend is $181,806.77. Funding for this action item was already approved in June 2016 action item. There are sufficient contingency funds in that action item to cover this spend. If there are no questions, may I go for the recommendation?
Yes, please.
Staff request the Citizens Information Advisory Committee approve and recommend Citizens Board of Governors approve the purchase of Oracle ACS Managed Cloud Support from DLT Solutions LLC via the DMS approved alternate contract source, contract number 8111-2000-US-16-ACS for the 6 months in the amount of $181,806.77 and authorize staff to take any appropriate or necessary actions consistent with this action item.
Thank you. Do I have a motion on this action item?
This is John Wortman, and I would move that we recommend to the Board of Governors approval of this recommendation.
Thank you, John. Is there a second on John's motion?
This is John Vaughn. I'll second that motion.
Thank you, John. Any further discussion? Are there any objections to the motion? None being heard, show the motion pass. Dita, you are still further recognized, and we are changing, as I understand it, action item, agenda item 6B actually becomes 5B now and is an action item.
Yes. Thank you, Governor. I'm going to draw your attention to tab 6, beginning with Internet Services, contact number 13-12-0035-02. My apologies. I'm going to switch to the System Administrative Services contract number 08-0061.
Right, and just for an intro, everyone understands there was a brief change in terms of a sole sourcing here. Kelly, do you want to just briefly go over that again for the benefit of the members?
Sure. Back in 2013 was procured through a sole source. It's really just continuing storage of our legacy data for commercial policies that were on the CSC system prior to the core project. We haven't shut down that legacy data lookup and archival yet, which we have plans to do within the next year. So this is the contract itself already had an extension in it that was based upon a timing regarded to ramp down services. That was not in sync with the action item that had an end date of December 31st, 2017. So we wanted to extend that service, and Adisha will go into that extension time frame, but in reviewing it one more time yesterday, we realized that we needed to do the single source process, and we will do that between now and the board meeting. So this action has been turned into an action item, and the action item recommendation will be contingent upon the successful single source process that we will initiate today or tomorrow.
Got you. Thank you. Any questions for Kelly about the procedural aspects of this? Okay, thanks. Okay, you can proceed then with the action item.
Okay, so with that background, may I go for the recommendation?
Yes, please.
Okay. Staff request the Citizens Information Advisory Committee approve and recommend the Citizens Board of Governors approve the continuation of services secured via single source approved by Citizens Board of Governors in December 2012 for an additional 14 months for the period of January 1st, 2018 through February 28, 2019. Approve the use of funds approved by Citizens Board of Governors in December 2012 for an additional 14 months for the period of January 1st, 2018 through February 28, 2019, contingent upon the successful award of the single source, and authorize the staff to take any appropriate or necessary actions consistent with this action item.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion on this action item?
This is John McKay. I'll move approval.
This is John Wortman. I would second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further questions or discussion? Is there any objections to the motion? None being heard, sure, the motion passes. Adita, please continue on now to the reversed consent item.
Okay. Thank you. So I'm on tab 6 now, Internet Network Services, contact number 13-12-0035-02. Level 3 Communications provides critical Internet services for the Jacksonville office. On March 22, 2013, Citizens Board of Governors authorized expenditures for the services under the contract, including optional renewals in the amount of $228,705. Citizens have consumed more services from Level 3 than the anticipated spend due to a variety of factors, such as consolidation in Everbank Center in downtown that required an additional backup circuit to the Citizens Tent off-site data center. Also, the taxes and surcharges were not included in the previous action item that was already approved. Level 3 provides critical backup circuits. Citizens could not have conducted its business without these critical Internet services. To date, the amount of additional spending is $24,067. This consent item requests approval of funding for the $24,067 in additional spending to date, and also the authority to pay another $122,198 to continue the services through April 24, 2020. And this is already budgeted in 2018, but the remaining term will be budgeted in the future years. If there are no questions, may I go for the recommendation?
Please do.
Staff requests the Citizens Information Services Advisory Committee approve and recommend the Citizens Board of Governors approve funding for additional expenditures under the contract of $146,265 and authorize staff to take any appropriate or necessary actions consistent with this consent item.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion on this consent item?
This is John Wortman, and I would move that we support this recommendation to the Board of Governors.
Thank you, John. Is there a second?
This is John McHale, second.
Thank you, John, as well. There's been a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Is there any objections to the motion? Show it passed. And thank you, Adita, for that presentation and continuing to hold the floor there. Next item of business is new business. Is there any new business to come before the board? Okay, none being heard, I will tell everyone that our next teleconference is on September 11th, prior to the September 26th Board of Governors meeting. Look forward to seeing everyone later in the month for our June meeting. And with that being heard, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Thank you. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day and see you soon.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Here.